Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Lila. I'm saying hello from my little corner. And I'm a senior, and I have a very good friend also going to be on with me. His name is Val, and we're going to kind of reminisce today. I thought that would be a little different, and if any of you would like to join in, please feel free in our reminiscing. You might remember some of the fun that we had when we were children, Val and I. Well, let's start with way back there, when I was about 7 or 8. Or 10 or someplace, somewhere in there. There was no television. There was only the radio and the family at that time. On Sundays was a special day because on Sunday, always the newspaper would come. And that's all there was, really, just the radio and the newspaper. Even my dad had one of those talk radios, you know, that you put on your head and you see if you can get New England or Germany or some of the places, or just talk to somebody else. That was really fun, and it was fun to watch him. He'd get so frustrated or elated when he found that he had England on his telephone. So it was good. So Val, what were some of your very early reminiscences? Can you remember when you were just a little kid too?
Well, we had TV come in around 1950. I was watching the black and white TV on the rug in front of the TV, and we had this little what was a Westinghouse or so television set. It wasn't big at all, but it was quite exciting to see a black and white Lone Ranger. There's this clown show about a clown, Bobo the Clown or something. Remember later on there was Soupy Sales. There's a lot of good TV shows in the beginning there in the 50s. And I remember eating peanut butter sandwiches in front of the TV and having Bosco milk. Remember Bosco? You had chocolate syrup. And you put it in your milk, and it would create a chocolate milk, and watch Soupy Sales on Saturday at noon with Big Fang and Pie in the Faces all the time. It was really, really quite nice. Yeah, those were the good old days, Lila. I remember those.
Oh, yeah, I remember those. Soupy Sales, was he the one that was always, do you want to buy a duck? Is he the one?
It may have been. I don't remember that.
I always thought, well, maybe that was before your time.
Maybe.
Anyway, I can go back even farther than that. There was Maggie and Jiggs. These cartoons were really works of art. Really, they were. And then there was Blondie and the Bumsteads. I don't know. He was always getting in trouble with his boss, the Bumsteads, and they had quite a marriage. They were back and forth, and Blondie was really a sweetheart. She would always console him because the boss would get mad at him, and then it was really quite interesting to see how they always make up and everything, and the boss would get so mad, but he really liked Bumstead too. So, and then of course there was Popeye. Popeye the Sailor Man, and I'm sure he influenced a lot of children that they better eat their spinach, because that makes you big and strong. And then Popeye had a girlfriend, I guess it was, she was always very sweet too. She was thin, very thin, just like a rail, and rather homely. And but she really loved, she really was a savior to Popeye. She would always, you know, edge him on and tell him that Wimpy was outside and he wanted his hamburgers. He loved hamburgers. He couldn't eat enough hamburgers. And here came Popeye as he ate. He says, "You can't eat enough spinach, children. So eat your spinach and be strong like Popeye." I don't know whether that went over very big with the kids or not, but I guess they did eat it, maybe. Anyway, there was Popeye and Wimpy and, oh gosh, so many. And there, of course, I remember Tonto and the Lone Ranger. Oh, that was wonderful. They had, you could send away for messages from the Lone Ranger, and he would send you back a key or some kind of something that would help you to remember all the adventures that that the Lone Ranger did. And that was fun to get something in the mail from the Lone Ranger yet. And then there was Little Orphan Annie. Do you remember her?
I do, yes.
And Daddy Warbucks?
No.
Oh, he was a big man that saved Little Orphan Annie, took her out of the orphanage, and gave her a home, and was the best. And he did a lot with Orphan Annie. She was, the little song was, "Bright eyes, cheeks of rosy glow, always on the go. Who do you see? Well, that's Little Orphan Annie. Orf!" And that was her dog, Sandy. And they always had lots of adventures and rescuing people. And then, of course, there was Flash Gordon. Oh, my goodness. He was just flying through the air, and he was quite a hero. Whether there were bad guys, Flash Gordon would come down and save him. Do you remember Flash Gordon?
I do.
And what were some of the things that he used to do?
Well, I remember him, but I don't remember watching him as much as Captain Kangaroo, Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, and Mr. Rogers, and some of those other favorites. So you'll have to fill me on a Flash Gordon. Okay. I was not into the space trips at that time, okay. Although I did have some dimensional experiences as a kid that I can share later.
Yeah, please do.
Well, my parents bought this little old house, this two-bedroom, one-bath, and it was owned by two little old ladies, and they were still occupying the house. At nighttime, I could feel them and sometimes see them walking around because they didn't want to leave the house.
Were they ghosts?
They were ghosts. You could call them ghosts.
Oh, my goodness. Did you see them?
Yeah, mainly I felt them, but I could almost see them. And they were probably in their 80s, and they didn't basically know where to go, so they were tied to the house. So at nighttime, especially at nighttime, I could feel them walking around. It was kind of eerie. It was a little scary for a little kid, an 8-year-old kid.
Well, I guess so. Did they moan or?
No, they didn't moan, but it was just kind of I'd have to be in the room with other people. It was a little scary.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then the basement too was haunted. I'm not sure if they were down there, but we had a big basement where it was cold and damp, and it was pretty scary to go down there, too. So,
and it was dark? Did it have a moldy odor?
No, it was airy, but it was damp, and it was it was dark, and it was a little sketchy down there too. So that's one thing. And then another thing, I remember lying in bed and I couldn't move. Sometimes my body felt so heavy. I couldn't move. It was between sleep state and dream state, and it was just like I was cement. I was like stuck in a twilight zone. That's another memory I had as a kid. And so these are all lead ups to when I became a seeker. I was in junior high, and I became a real seeker after something that was, you know, bothering me, like what was going on here in this lifetime. So that's when it all started. But, you know, I had a few experiences as a child that that kind of prompted me to look further into more of the other dimensional kind of realities.
Yeah, me too. When I was a kid, I'd look up in the stars and I'd say, gee, wonder how far they are away. Could I get there? Wonder what's around. Why are we here? Why am I up here, down here, looking up at the stars? Why? What's going on here? I've got to know. It was always that. And I would plant. I remember I had a little garden, just a tiny one. But I would plant flowers, and I would say that, well, these flowers, they came from somewhere. Aren't they beautiful? Where did they come from? Why, what is the world like? Is it always like this in the other universes? There must be more. There must be more. So I was always looking and wondering what was going on, really. And people would die, and I'd say, well, where would they go when they die? People would say they all go to heaven and you have a wonderful time. Well, did they? What was it like? And so those were some of my questions. And then of course, there was Flash Gordon, and then there was Spider-Man, and all these things going on at the same time. And why am I here? There's got to be some reason. Anyway, on Sundays, it was way back when, there was one man's family, and we would all gather around and listen to that radio program. That's all there was. And we had apricot trees in our backyard, plus figs, Black Mission figs, which were really, really good, and fresh apricots right off the tree. And my grandma would make apricot cobbler. Oh man, that was so wonderful, and hot chocolate. So those were days when, yeah, I grew up with. But anyway, the newspapers. That was a big thing. The boys would come on their bicycles and they would toss the newspapers on your porch. And on rainy days, the newspapers were wrapped up in plastic, and so that they wouldn't get wet. And we would bring them in. My dad would go for the sports and the news. But me, I couldn't wait to get to the funny papers. That was a thing. And all these cartoons were so fun. It was really, they were very clever. Cleverly done and beautifully done, too. The artwork was great. And, of course, the big thing was way at the back, there was this beautiful drawing. They were ink drawings, pen and ink drawings. They were just so beautifully done. Every little detail was done. This was called Prince Valiant. Now, Prince Valiant, of course, there was a king in a castle, and Knights of the Round Table, and of course the king had a son, a prince, and his name was Prince Valiant, of course. And the people all just loved him. And of course there was beautiful Alita, his girlfriend or wife, never said really what she was, but she was there, and she was very, very beautiful. Every drawing that was made, I remember the artist's name was called Neil, I think it was, I'm trying to say Neil, but that isn't right. Anyway, her, Brinkley was her last name. These drawings were absolutely exquisite, and every detail was perfectly done. Her dresses and costume were just exquisite. And of course, Prince Valiant, he had a beautiful, wonderful armor and a horse. And of course, a king would send him out on missions. Being a prince, he was to be a favorite to herald peace. And if war came, he would gather all his knights around, and they would fight to the end and come back victorious, of course, and to the king. And the king would have a big festival, and everyone would come and honor Prince Valiant. Sometimes the king would send him out to war so that they really were victorious. And the peace would finally come to that village or wherever it was. And sometimes the king would send a Prince Valiant to a neighboring or far away communities where he would show the people how to raise crops and find water and get along community-wise. He was very wonderful and very diplomatic, and he would come back again, victorious or not, to the king and report. And if he wasn't victorious, he'd send it back until he was. And the people all, everywhere that Prince Valiant went, he was always welcome to the small communities, except, of course, when he was fighting to the death. And, of course, Prince Valiant was very brave and very handsome, of course, and very, his costumes were just exquisitely done, as I say, though he had puff sleeves even on one of his clothes. And there was Alita, as beautiful as anything you could possibly see in this kingdom. The drawings were so well done that you knew when they were in the castle, and they were standing maybe on the porch and looking out over the kingdom. It was beautifully, beautifully done. That kind of inspired me, because they were so beautiful. It inspired me to become interested in art and want to be an artist. I'm afraid I didn't have quite that talent, but I sure tried. So that was, and it's really strange how the knights of old and Prince Valiant is still alive today. I just remember Prince Valiant. So he is Prince Valiant. It's in my book, brave and handsome and strong and always going out giving the message of how he can assist the people. And he will even go to war and come back, of course, victorious. So I can't, here he is today, in the olden days. You know, it was fight to the death and that sort of thing. Today, the king, of course, in my opinion, is Duane Hibner, the great writer. And here he is, our prince, and Val is a prince. He's a very fine gentleman. You couldn't ask for anything more victorious and braver than Prince Valiant of today.
This is Prince Valiant. Thank you, Lila. I'm just curious, you talking about those days, who was the real guide during those days? You might look in the book and might give you the answer.
Oh, yeah. I have one of the books. I surely do. Duane the Great Writer has given us these fabulous books, these wonderful guides to help us along. Let's see if I can find something that will be apropos. Oh, speaking of Val being Prince Valiant, and Val would say, I definitely listen because it sounds like a lot of fun. Do you think that if I listen and get a lot smarter, I could skip school altogether? It's so boring, he asked. Well, you know what to do with your life, my dear Rudin. That's from the book. We can only provide the insight and knowledge. You are the one who will create your life and decide to use what we share with you. You must keep in mind there is always at least two sides to things, and even more than that, as you become more aware. Wow, this sounds so interesting. Way more than boring school. I have thought all these fantastic dreams at night to where I go to different places, and I'm meeting all these super smart people. When I wake up in the morning, I don't want to go to school. I want to try and figure out what I'm seeing in my dreams. But as I get along with what I'm doing here, I forget a lot of what I know to be so real. And I do not want to be here anymore, said the little boy. So.
Yeah, this is the life here. We're trapped in this one-dimensional reality when there's so much more out there. And if you dream at all at nighttime, we call it the real side, you'll see that there's lots of other dimensions out there that can be explored. And this is what we are showing people and sharing, that there's more than just this one dimension here, which is actually a trap. And the controllers are trying to trap you into thinking that this is the only reality, and your physical body is the only reality there is. But you actually have four other bodies. And this is, besides the physical, you have the astral body or the light body. You have the causal body or the memory body. You have the mental body or your idea, knowledge body. And then the subconscious body, or unconscious body, which is your intuitive self. So there's a lot of parts to you, and each of these parts have vast dimensions within themselves. So there's lots to explore, and that's what we're hinting at and referencing with what Lila just read and with what Duane the Great Writer has brought out and presented through his books. He has 9 books that he's written about all these adventures that he's gone through and you can go through as well. So there's more than what you think. There's always more to life. Life is bigger than you can even imagine or consider. So it takes a risk taker, and that's where Prince Valiant came in, and that's where Prince Valiant has reincarnated. He's in Dean Vell right now. His name is Dean Vell, and he's also called the High Plains Drifter because he likes to float around and explore different dimensions and all that. So you can too, and all it takes is singing this sound.
You.
And you sing that for 10 minutes or so before bed and watch your dreams, and then in the morning you'll probably remember some of your adventures. If you want to write them down, it'd be easier for you to remember and keep a track of them, because from then on, the real guys like Dwayne and Reb Zartars and Yagul Sakabi and Paul Twitchell and others will be guiding you to your benefit to become more aware. And this is all very fun, and it's something that it's in this day and age right now, it's very important for people to step up and do something and really become more aware, because the demise of the planet is in hand, and who knows how long it would last. They could fire lasers down like they did in Paradise, California, and wipe out whole cities. They could turn up the Wi-Fi, the 5G, right now, fifth generation of EMFs. Fry people's brains. They could do all kinds of things with the weather, create hurricanes, and what's happening in back east right now with the cold. And so there's a lot of things that the controllers have at their hand here to make it hard on people so they don't wake up. But singing the new you before bed, that's your first step. And then Dwayne has 9 books out. You can read the books, too, and they can be ordered online on www.wonderfulworldwideeducators.com. You can order those books there and start reading about the different dimensions, and it will really open you up into more.
And I can tell you one thing. Those books are exciting. You will just be mesmerized, amazed at how wonderful they are. Not only that, they give you the answers to what you've been wondering about. Why is it this way? The book tells you why in such a fun way. I can hardly, just like when I was a kid, and look forward to reading the funnies and all that, and Prince Valiant and everything. Here it is. I just opened the book. And it's a wonderful excitement. Even if you don't dream, it's okay. You can wake up. You probably can wake up feeling wonderful. And if you realize that you feel so good, that today is going to be a good day, you'll know that the guides are with you. And you can't ever be alone. You don't have to be. You have these guides with you all the time. It's exciting to look, to see what's going on, and to listen to what Dwayne, some of his programs are very interesting. Things you hadn't thought about. Gee, I didn't know that. I think I'll look into that. That's wonderful. That's the adventure that life can really bring to you. Knowing the things that you don't know. It's exciting. So let's all get together and let's have some fun. See what we can do. Just like Prince Val. The king would send Prince Val out to new communities, maybe far away, and help them out and make them prosperous and come back to the king, which is very exciting. Our king is, of course, Dwayne Hepner, the great writer. And it's fun to do all these things. We can do little things, too. Maybe just plant a simple garden or something, you know, or not. But it's fun. Life can be fun if we make it. We all sing New You together. How beautiful. That's adoration. That's honesty. And that's gratitude.
Lila mentioned the unknown. This is very interesting because the days of masters, gurus, spiritual paths, and religions are over. Yes, they're over. They've had their time. They're not negated. And if you want to follow them, go right ahead. But there's new adventures in hand. And this is going into the unknown. And that's why it takes the risk taker to step out of the comfort zone of your own belief systems and self-convinced attitudes and into this area where life becomes bigger. And it's wonderful, actually, because that's the real safety and security is there if you're looking for something like that. It's not an illusion of spiritual paths and gods and such, but life will take care of you if you step out into the unknown with a sincere heart and sincere intent. So that's you'll get this from the books, and you'll get this from seeing the new you. I have another question, Lila. Maybe you can source the book again. And how did you find the new you? How did you first find the new you? How did you come across it?
Oh, me?
Oh. Is your name Lila?
Oh, I guess I was waiting for someone in the audience to answer that. Well, my goodness. I started out as a little kid, you know, wondering why I'm here. And wondering what's the whole life about? Why is everything like this? I have to go to school. I don't want to go to school. I'd rather play. I'd rather go skating. But all these things, well, they're all fun. But what am I really here for? Yes, I have friends. But why these particular friends? And as I grew up, I guess I went searching for, well, I did. I went to every religion there was. You name it, I was there. And even the silly ones, too, you know, regress into, I don't know, hypnotism and once I was a dolphin. And my name was Tina, and we all got around in a circle and said, Tina, Tina, Tina. I mean, it was really silly. And one time, one of the girls came back, and she said, I've been to the astral plane, and I know what it's like there, and it's fun. And I met a new guy, and he was a shark, and I was scared of him, but I knew that I was a shark, too, and we went off together in sharkdom, I guess. Anyway, that was really about as silly as you could get, but I went for a little while, just because it was fun. But then I ran across Ekankar, and I don't know how the heck, I don't remember how I really found it. Well, I was too. Yes, I went to a bookstore, and I found one of Paul Churchill's books, and it was very, very interesting. And I was living in Burbank at the time, and I had a trailer, and it was a small trailer park, and my plumbing kept breaking down all the time. And I asked the manager, do you know of someone that could fix the plumbing in my trailer? Well, he did. there was a young college student that was just here temporarily, but he was pretty good at handyman things. So he said, "Oh, but he could fix your plumbing." So it was under the sink. It was always leaking or doing some darn thing. But anyway, this young man came and yes, he fixed the plumbing. But in the meantime, he was telling me all about Ekengar and how wonderful it was, and on and on and on and on. And I said, "Well, yeah, that's okay, that's good." And so he said, "Well, I think the plumbing I can fix it now, and it'll be okay for a while." And it was for a while, and it broke down again. And the young man came in, and he fiddled around and talking to me about how wonderful Ekengar was and how you could go to all these astral planes and all the things, everything. And I thought, well, gee, that does sound interesting, but nah. And so it's okay. He said, "Fine, fine, fine." So then the darn plumbing broke again. Of course, it came back, and he kept at it. He said, "Well, it's wonderful. You will really like this. Here's another book you can read." So, okay. I read it, and it was, I forget what it was even. But I stayed up all night long. Well, I mean, I literally could not put that book down. I think it was a tiger's fang. Yes, that's what it was. I just traveled all the four worlds, and he made the book so interesting and so real and so wonderful. It was 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and I had to go to work that day. Well, I did manage to go to work, but I'll tell you, I was more asleep than awake. And he said that at that time, down in Burbank, that's where I lived, he said that you go down to, I think it was Los Angeles or somewhere. At any rate, so I thought, well, okay, I'll look into this. So we went down there, and it was a small place, an office, I think. And it was filled with very smiling, happy people, and they all greeted me very nicely and very warmly, and I thought the people were great, and we talked about, went in little groups, and talked about spiritual things, and about Paul Twitchell, and I thought, well, gee, this is really pretty interesting, but I was really scared, I'll tell you, because making that big trip. Yeah, it was at night, and I had to drive down to Los Angeles. I think it was Los Angeles. And but I was impressed, and I thought, well, that's pretty good. So I went home very happy and very curious and kind of scared, too, because the whole thing was new. Going at night down to Los Angeles and meeting all these lovely people. They were nice, and they were friendly. So I got another book and read that, and then about that time I went down to San Diego. I guess I don't know why I did. Some reason, the work or something, because I was a nurse at that time. And anyway, so down in San Diego was a big area. They had a big congregation there, a big gathering of Ekas, what do you call it, a center? A big center, yeah. And they were very active. And, of course, there were the fifth initiates, which I said, oh, my gosh, they know so much, and everything is so new. And I don't know anything. As a matter of fact, this broke the whole set her up for a while. I said, because they were talking about soul travel, which Paul was always talking about. And I was asking more about soul travel. And I said, gee, I wonder if you go up to the astral plane or all these planes, do you need a sweater? Well, that laughter lasted a long time, and I'm still being pitted about it. When I was soul traveling, I might need a sweater because I know the universe out there, it gets cold the higher you go up. And I was only asking about the astral. And I know the higher that you go, the colder you get. So that's it. That followed me around for quite a while. But I became more and more involved in the Ekankar and began to see what they were talking about. And it was clearing up. And I was in it for, oh gosh, about 20 years, maybe something like that. I dropped out, and then I found out there wasn't anything else. There was nothing else out there. Everything was boring. I've heard this before. So I guess the only reason is that I have to go back to Ekankar. So, you know, after being gone for about 5 years, or maybe 6, going back to an Ekankar center, I was very, again, scared, ashamed, like a dog coming back with his tail between his legs, going back. Here I am. I found out there's nothing else anywhere. So what Paul is presenting makes sense. So here I am. And they didn't even know I was gone. So I said, oh, okay. Come on in and be a part of us again. So I said, okay. And so I was forgotten. I was never missed, I guess. So anyway, I was in it for a long time, about 10 years or so. And then I began to really look around and look at these, second look at what Paul was saying. And I said, you know, that's wonderful. Paul is just so wonderful. But it seems to me there's something more. I don't know what. And the longer I went, and the groups, they all were very dedicated, you know, and they couldn't see that I was becoming perturbed. And I felt like there were donkeys in front of me, and there was a long pole on the backs of these donkeys. And on the pole, the end of the pole, was a carrot. Of course, donkeys love carrots. And I was riding in the back with the donkeys on the carrots. And I think, you know, those donkeys will never find those carrots. And I shared that. And that's the way I feel. I feel that I'm just treading along like a donkey. And there's what I want is out there, just like the carrots that I'll never get if I keep on this path. And I became very disheartened, I guess, because when I went to the meetings, and I would tell them that this is the way I feel, there's something more. And I became very, very disappointed. And nobody would admit that anything was wrong and that I was kind of silly for thinking that there's something more. So I kind of didn't go for a little while. And suddenly, who would arrive on the... the scene, but Prince Valiant he was also in Ekankar, and we would say hello to each other and that sort of thing, and we would talk a little bit, but we were busy with Ekankar, and so a phone call came along, and Val, Prince Valiant, asked me out to dinner. Well, of course, I was going to say yes. A handsome young Val, Prince Valiant. I wasn't going to say no. Of course, I'd go out to dinner with him. I was very flattered, and so I went out to. We went out to dinner, and he explained what was going on with him, Dwayne Hepner, and all the wonderful things. And I thought, well, that sounds pretty good, but I'm not convinced yet. But it's something I should look at, I'm sure. And then I guess he sensed that. And so he asked me out again to dinner. And so, wow, of course I'm going to go. Why should I not go out with Prince Valiant? So we did, and he really made more sense. And I was really ready to follow him on this with Dwayne Hepner and the wonderful world of Golden Guides and Bigotar and all these wonderful things, of course. So I got very excited, and I have not lost my excitement for this wonderful, exciting path and what's really, really going on here. At last, as a little girl looking up what's going on, I'm finding out what the heck is going on here. It's a wonderful, exciting adventure is what it is. And it sure has its up days and down days, because I don't stay up all the time. I come down and I get the human side, and I go, but I'm learning more and more to be the person that I guess I really hoped I would be turning out to be. And I am just gifted so much. I can't believe how fortunate I am to have found this. And I never will quit. Never, ever. I'm going to be more and more involved, and I want to meet these wonderful guides and have a beautiful life that I know is there, and the light and the sound. It's just exciting and all get out. I suggest that you all just look into this. What's going on? What's really, really, really going on in this world? Well, I've gone on. And I still have one more story to tell. But time is running out on us.
That's wonderful, Lila. That's a good, in-depth, comprehensive story.
Yeah.
How you found the new you and Dwayne the Great Writer. Yeah. It's very simple, really. And, it just takes a matter of seeing it. Not everybody sees it, but you saw it, and you're very fortunate to be able to.
You bet it is. And don't give up. It's there. It really is there. One of the planes I read someplace, this is the other story, I guess I can't keep it, because I had a girlfriend and I didn't know what to do one afternoon. Well, this is when I was in Ekankar, I think. Yes, I was in the beginning kind of Ekankar, and my girlfriend and I went to the mall, and it was a festival day. They were playing all kinds of some games and some music and all this kind of stuff. And along came, I heard in the background bagpipes. And I just was glued to this the sound, and the bagpipes kept coming along, and we were standing with a group of other people lined up, and the bagpipers in their wonderful fur kilts, and they were colorful, and the louder they got, honest to goodness, I just began to cry. I just cried and cried and cried and cried. I was amazed, and why am I crying? I mean, the tears were just coming, like I just began to sob. And as I came by, I was just overwhelmed, and overwhelmed at myself for why was I crying? But as I learned later, I must have heard in another life, but somewhere in the one of the planes, and the real side, on the real side this time, not just on the fifth plane, like an Eckankar plane. But no, this is deeper than that. Because that sound of the bagpipes is on the real side somewhere. And I must have been there before, some time ago. I found this wonderful thing, and for some reason I turned it down or something. But I get a second chance. Here I am again. And I ask the echoes, well, why is it like every time I hear this, the bagpipes, I begin to cry for no reason. But I just, and even to this day, I get a little teary-eyed because I realize that I was there before. And this time, I'm not quitting. So that's my story of the bagpipes. It was such a wonderful feeling, too.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Are they associated in Eckankar? They were associated with, what, the fifth plane or so?
I think it's on the fifth plane that you hear the bagpipes.
Yeah.
But as I know, it's on the real side, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Only on the real side. That's the real McCoy.
Yeah. Planes have shifted now, so there's a deep, dark border, too, that is considered the sixth plane, and then the seventh is the real universe, and so on. But those are just classifications for the mind, really. Everything is here and now, and that's what we're focused on, the here and now, and being present in the isness life is, because that's where everything is right now. But to get to that, it's a little bit of a challenge, but we can do it. It takes going through ourselves, through our different attitudes and ideas and considerations. And like I mentioned before, we have these bodies, these other bodies, and each body has a creation of its own. And to get through these is quite challenging, but it can be done. The real guides have done it, and we can do it as well and go on into more spaciousness and real freedom, and then help others along the way too.
Well, we didn't let anybody else talk, did we?
I don't think anybody's here.
Huh?
I don't see anybody here. We didn't really advertise this, so nobody's here besides us two and invisible people that we don't see.
Well, so, we're brand new. You know, it's the first time.
The first show, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, we can promote it next time. And invite other people to get on, like Claudie and Kelsey and Henry and all that.
They didn't hear us?
Nobody's on here that I see, no. So
maybe they didn't know about it.
Right. That's why I say we could promote it next time a little better. warn people that it'll be on. So any last comments, Lila?
Grab your coat and get your hat. You're on the... walk on the sunny side of the street. Life could be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. Yay! That's all, folks. Until next time, this is from Lila's Corner. We're gonna have a ball here. Please join us and join in the fun. Belle and I will be waiting. Bye-bye. Good night. Good night.